Well, let's find out where it's at from a player's perspective. Obviously, we're talking a lot about this. Ed, how's it looking? Good morning to you, mate.
Flats, how are you, mate?
Good, mate. How's it looking?
It's looking okay. Pretty bleak for some of us that are turning up to train this morning without being paid, but we love the game. That's what we're prepared to do to show Cricket Australia that we want this to move forward and get resolved quickly, because as you say, this is not a good look for the game, and it's not a good look for Cricket Australia.
No, I think that's the fact, Ed. I mean, I've had my say about things. I've never, ever said that if I wasn't a current player, I wouldn't be fighting the absolute cause that you're fighting. I am removed, though, so I can see in some ways what Cricket Australia are trying to do and trying to control. But it seems that their structure, which you guys are clearly not going to go for, is somehow putting you out because this feeling invested in the game seems to be one of your arguments.
That's certainly one of the arguments. I think what we are trying to do is provide a check and a balance, if you will, against a governing body that likes control and likes autonomous control across every decision, every moment of where every dollar goes. And I think we've shown, not just us, but the world, that the dictatorships don't work. So what we're trying to do is create a genuine partnership so that the game can grow and prosper and there's a check and balance in decision-making.
Mm. But don't they run the game?
They do, but so of course they do. And we put faith in that, as you do, as everyone else that loves the game. But what they're offering is essentially a surplus model with no control on cost. So that gives them complete control and go spend as much money as they want on whatever they want. And they've proven in the past they don't spend money in the right areas.
Mm. So is there a feeling from both camps that, okay, grassroots needs investment, and yet Cricket Australia are suggesting that the investment monies has to come from the players, and the players are suggesting that there's a little bit top-heavy with the payments that are being charged to administer the game, Ed, at the head office level?
That's essentially the question. 12% of revenue that they have given to grassroots, it needs to be doubled. We know it needs to be doubled. We're at the coalface. More so than any CA employee, we go back to club cricket. We've got kids that run around in grassroots cricket. We know the struggles that are going on, and we want more money invested there. But when you look at it, when you look at a company with 450 employees and a huge marketing department and a huge media department, we think, where does this money go? Not only that, they have $70 million in cash reserve. We're talking about a not-for-profit sporting body. $70 million. And there are kids struggling or parents who can't afford registration fees because they're too high.
Yeah.
You know, things need to change. We want what is best for the game. We're going to fight for it until, you know, we are proven otherwise. But at the moment, they're not proving their case well enough for us. We've got open eyes. We've got open ears. We are willing to talk about what is best for the game. But you need to be able to sell it to us. And they can't.
Mm.
They can't. They're asking us to buy a car without looking under the bonnet, and it's not fair.
Ed, has there been any negotiation? Oh, well, I believe there's no negotiation, but has there been any talk of them coming to you guys with the exact same model, just lowering the percentage share?
No, and we're open to that. This is what's
Well, that'd be the easiest fix, right?
Come to the same number. If that's what you think we should be paid, come to the same number, but lessen the share or rip out aspects of what accounts for player-driven revenue,
what
we call Australian cricket revenue, because we don't. Obviously, there are portions of revenue that players don't access. We're comfortable with that. What we're open to is a discussion around what kind of revenue share model they would like to entertain, and they're not willing to entertain that.
Ed, is there a level of frustration also because of who's doing the negotiating on behalf of Cricket Australia? Kevin Roberts is leading that, and yet James Sutherland is the CEO, and it would be obvious to have the head honcho in on what is arguably the most important negotiation that happens in a four-year cycle.
Yeah, it's a good point, and the ACA are calling for CEO-to-CEO negotiations. Don't get me wrong, Kevin Roberts is an incredibly good operator. He's an incredibly smart and capable man, but it's got to the point, I think there is some internal politics going on at Cricket Australia behind the scenes. for this to get resolved. We want it to be resolved. Everyone involved in the game wants to get it resolved. Whatever it takes on Cricket Australia's side to get it resolved, if that's the CEO coming to the table, that's what we're calling for.
Okay, so as it stands after yesterday, Ed, this South African A-Tour's not going ahead?
Well, again, we hope it goes ahead, but at this stage, the players are going to decline the invitation tour.
And the deadline's Friday, is it?
The deadline is Friday. So in industrial relations terms, 5 days is 5 years. We all know that. A deal can be done in the next 5 days. And we're not after a dotted line deal, but we're after some movement that they are willing to negotiate on a sharing agreement.
Can I put a scenario to you, Ed? You mentioned the political climate back at Cricket Australia. Can I put a scenario to you and get your comment on it? That Kevin Roberts is leading these negotiations and James Sutherland has stayed away, but he will then come in and find a solution to the current issues, whether it's using the tools that Kevin has available or not, and then be seen as the one who has carried the day and secure his position as CEO of Cricket Australia for a further 4 or 5 years.
You're a smarter man than me, Jimmy. I think, you know, that's not a far-fetched suggestion. As I said, I don't really know what's going on behind the scenes at Jollymont, but you've got two very capable and smart people in James and Kevin, and only one can be CEO. So I don't know. I don't think it's for me to comment, but, you know, that is certainly a possibility.
The problem you've got now, Ed, is that the longer it goes on, you really do run the risk of losing public face, don't you? You know, there's one thing. I understand your plight. I absolutely do. And as I say, if I'm a player, I'm right beside you. But when boycott, refusing to go on tour, the public can't relate to a lot of the money salaries that are out there. It can't go on for too long, mate.
No, and we want to resolve. I think at the moment we have some great public support. I think the money issue, you know, you see people are well paid. We're talking about the best cricketers in the world. Steve Smith, David Warner, Mitchell Starc are all in the top five cricketers.
Yeah, but
world.
I don't think their income's going to be affected, whatever pay structure.
That's exactly right.
It's more the domestic player.
And the domestic player that CA Sprout earned 240 grand, that is crap sluts and you know it. The median income for a domestic player is under $100,000. We're trying to compete with other sports, attract talent. Domestic players, particularly those that don't play in the Big Bash, do not get paid very well.
How many would get the upper echelon then, 250? What percentage do you think?
1%.
Oh, really?
Does that include Big Bash contracts as well as
that
state
includes,
contracts?
We're talking about that. There's very different, you guys will appreciate, averages and medians are very different numbers. What Cricket Australia like to do is they like to average the top contract with the bottom contract and say, that's your average player. Everyone is skewed to the we've got 20 people in our squad and 70% would be within 20 grand of the base contract. The top contracts within 40 grand or 50 grand of the bottom contract. And there's this gap between what we pay our top player and what they call the top contract, which is another 70 grand. No one gets paid. No one's even close to that. Not across the states. I've talked to people in every single state. I've played for two states and been a senior player in both those states.
But if you're, if you are a player of talent, you're playing Shield, One Dayers, and with a Big Bash contract, you've got to be, 150 plus?
You'd probably be around $150,000 for 12 months of the year, giving up a huge chunk of your life to dedicate to something that you love, and we're not complaining.
That's true, though,
mate.
But you're not playing for your country. You know what I mean?
No, I understand that, but you are trying to play for your country, and you could do this for 10 years and not play for your country, and be 33, have no skills, and you look up and you've been earning $120,000 for 10 years. That is good money, admittedly. But if you're trying to live close to the SCG because you've got to train, you know, you're not getting ahead in life.
Hey, what was one of the agenda items yesterday, Ed, about being careful about that public perception and what, especially from a social media point of view, about what you're posting? Did that actually, was that mentioned?
It didn't come up. And, you know, I get texts the whole time, you know, saying this isn't a good look. Someone's posted this, someone's posted that. At the end of the day, I think people need to be personally accountable, you know, for what they're doing. No one's going to stop Dave Warner from driving an expensive car and wearing nice clothes. That's him. To a sense, some might argue he's earned that, but that's his personality. There are lots of guys battling away, struggling to pay their rent, living within, 50 minutes of the SCG, who travel in every day, 50 minutes like everyone else who goes to work in the city, and life's tough. Yeah. So there's a whole smattering. We're talking about the best player in the world,
yeah,
and guys that are trying to get there. And, yeah, and no doubt Cricket Australia are investing, or they need to invest in those guys still. So, yeah, there are many sides to the argument. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, okay. So Shane Watson said, everyone needs to know this is not about making more money, but it clearly is, Ed. And the fact is, with the...
No, it's not.
Well, yeah, but you're talking about domestic players not making the money they should. But what is the right amount, Ed, for a domestic player, do you think, for the commitment?
Who knows?
With the understanding...
On what the growth of the game is, how well the games... If the games are... $40 billion. If the game was the Major League Baseball or the NBA, it's not. We have a market size of 30 million people. I understand that. But if it was, would you be happy if you're essentially the domestic players who are in the top 50 players in the world? No doubt.
Yeah, but so domestic player income. But domestic player incomes have increased year on year, so it's increasing every year.
This is where you're talking to the wrong people, Spuds. They're not increasing year on year. And if you look at the Cricket Australia offer in the detail, and that's where the devil is, they include money that's already owed to us. They include payroll tax, which is an employer expense.
Okay, if this isn't about player increase, then what are you arguing about? What's the fight about?
Let's go back to the start. It's not... You brought up the pay, and that is...
Well, it's all about money, mate. It's all about a revenue share model that you...
Incorrect. It's about being partners in the game. You brought up the pay, and that's where...
Yeah, but being... You're a partner in the game, mate, when you strap those pads on and go out and play for your state.
No.
Every time I went out there, I wasn't worried about if I would... I thought I was a partner in the game because my performance helped my team. It was individual. It was inspiring for youngsters. I was involved in the game. So what is this partnership rubbish?
I don't agree with...
You playing the game, you are a custodian of the game. You are a custodian of the game and you have responsibilities to represent the game. And this...
No doubt. We're on the same page. And that's why, if we're custodians of the game, why wouldn't we want to be partners in the game?
Yeah, but what does that mean?
It means that the game is in good health. That it's being looked after at the...
It's in good health if you go out there and perform beautifully for your state, country, and as an individual. It's in good health if you're...
From a performance point of view, it is, but not from an administrative point of view. There are two different aspects.
I don't understand this argument. And you're telling me that this whole fight is not over money.
It's not, no. Because the top guys are very well paid. The very best domestic players are well paid. There are guys who struggle, but that is fine. That is called the natural
pyramid. No, but you just said that, how can they be expected to earn that? So it's all about money.
No, it's not. I disagree. I find it so, and I think that you're...
All right, so you'll be happy then if they get paid less.
Let me finish, please.
Well, it's just...
I think you're... Let me finish, otherwise it's not a fair conversation. I think your view is seriously impeded by your job at Channel 9.
It's got absolutely nothing to do with me being at Channel 9. I'm an ex cricketer who got paid to play the game, and I never walked out there thinking about whether I was a partner in the game or not, because I felt I was a partner in the game, and it didn't matter how my pay was paid.
You played under a revenue share model.
Yeah, but I didn't worry about that. My only worry was that I was dead lucky to be...
Don't worry about that.
I was dead lucky to have this talent and ability and that I was being picked. And I thought, well, I am an absolute custodian of the game, like those before me and those that come after me, and I didn't care about the pay structure.
I don't care about how much I would get paid, but I think it is important that it is linked into the health of the game. There are two fundamentally...
They're not, because arguments. You're just banging on about how little the domestic player gets paid.
No, because you brought it up, Slads. That is not the key. I'm dismantling the point that you're bringing up. It was not a key point that I was bringing up to start with.
Last one from me, Ed.
Jimmy, you're still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Sorry.
I let him go because he's very passionate about it.
No, but both of us are passionate about it. This
absolutely.
Is the game that we're both in love with, still in love. One still playing, one removed. And I can tell you, Ed, it has zero to do with my employment.
Okay, well, that's good to hear.
And Ed, I'll just ask you as a last one.
It has zero to do with my employment, though, because I'm right at the end of my career.
Oh, well, you might be working with me soon.
Ben Horn writes in the Daily Telegraph today that there are still individual players, elite players, being approached by Cricket Australia. Is that true?
I don't know, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Right. Okay. Okay.
If he's, Ben's pretty close to it. I think if he's printing it, he'd know.
Yeah. Ed, nice healthy debate, mate. It's as I say, mate. If I was a player, I would be on your side in terms of your plight, but at the same time, I'm really worried about the overall picture and the game and how it impacts those who love it. So I wish you well in your cause, and let's hope both parties can come to the table soon.
Slats, I couldn't agree with you more, and let it be known, your poster is still up on my child's next door to Ricky Ponte.
It might have a dart. It might have a dart.
No, I don't think so. I think a good, genuine debate. There's nothing wrong with genuine and heartfelt debate, and it's certainly nothing
personal.
Well,
I knew you and I could do that. Thank you, mate.
Ed, there he is.
Ed Cowan.
Thanks, Eddie.
Sorry, Jimmy.
No, that's fine, and that's good, because that's your domain.
I just feel so upset that it's got this far, and obviously I've got my view, he's got his view. My view would be different if I was sitting next to him, but I'm removed from that, and I just want it to get sorted out. Well, I really do.
My view is, and I'm sitting next to you, is that I think the players are right. I think they deserve a percentage of revenue. Now, whether that needs to be lower to fund the grassroots.
Yeah, but I don't, at the end of the day, I don't care what model it is. Mm. And to me, the players are going to win this. What's surprising is that Cricket Australia have come back and said, well, let's work on a 23 to 24% and cream can go to grassroots. That would. Yeah. But I don't go with this whole argument, it's not about money. Otherwise, what's it about? Mm. When I hear him arguing how little domestic players get paid. So there's the money element to it, surely.
And that goes back to the public perception about maintaining the public support in a negotiation like this that is played out so very publicly.
Anyway, I just wanted to get resolved.
It was good radio, I tell you what.